25 to the pass. Hold it. Defense, number 33. 5-yard penalty. Automatic. First down.
Greetings and welcome to a special edition of the Roger Goodgrove's Officiating Podcast. This is a Super Bowl special, so we're going to go through all the main talking points of the Super Bowl. There were quite a lot if you look on social media, judging by a lot of people's comments, which is expected. You know, like we say, Roger, more eyes and ears on the game would lead to more talking points. And by God, this game certainly had it, didn't it?
Yeah. I think every Super Bowl does. The losing team tries to blame the referees, which is the only common to them.
Yeah, and I don't want to come across, because I, you know, I'm quite sort of on the ground when it comes to, you know, team, you know, my team winning, etc. But you scored 9 points, Chiefs fans, you know, and
that's the bottom.
That's the bottom line, and he didn't score a touchdown. So I just don't understand how any official has made the difference in terms of, you know, I mean, we'll go through some of the...
Yeah, we will. I'm sure we'll cover, you know, changes of momentum that can be affected.
Yeah, 100%. But let's obviously talk about the first incident. So this was in the first quarter. So this was a 3rd-and-7 play, I believe, where Mahomes, which he would find later on, he'd be doing a lot of, is under a lot of pressure from the Bucs front seven. I think this time it was Shaq Barrett put him under pressure. Very likely that he was going to get sacked. And obviously, you know, Mahomes doing the sensible thing, which was throwing the ball out. Now, a lot of people were saying that this was intentional grounding, so it wasn't called that way. But what were your thoughts on this one, Roger? Because it certainly looked like he was not really throwing to anyone.
They were, because what the rule entails, I think it would be fair to say. So let's look at intentional grounding. Basically, the intentional grounding is the quarterback has dropped yards, 7 to 10, typically. If he throws the ball away illegally, he gets the original line, and therefore not lose. Actually, what would happen? However, why people complain? Obviously, because, you know, if he got sacked in that position, they've lost 10 yards. However, they are legal to get rid of them. And what you can do, grounding, and the thing. How to try first things. A quarterback is trying to throw a receiver. If they get it near to where the receiver is, that's an attempted throw, regardless of anything else. And in this particular example, there is a running back who's come out of the backfield and is in amongst the linemen. So the ball gets near enough to him to consider that to be a pass attempt at him. So there is therefore no need for the quarterback to get out of the pocket to get the line of scrimmage, which you often see them do out of bounds, because they don't need to, because there was a receiver in the area. Now, if that receiver wasn't in the area, this would be intentional grounding for two reasons. Which is, one, it didn't get back to the line of scrimmage. Quarterback was not out of the pocket. Therefore, he's not illegally allowed to dump the ball to avoid the loss of yardage. So it isn't intentional grounding, but not because of the line of scrimmage issue or the out-of-pocket issue. It's all down to the fact that there was a receiver, I think number 25, if I remember rightly, in the area. And therefore, he's legitimately trying to pass the ball.
Yeah. No, I saw it that way as well, to be honest. But obviously, some people see different angles of the play and they don't necessarily look at who's in and amongst the players. So the right decision made, and there was no controversy there at all.
To be fair to people, I think that's fair in some situations, because running backs, traditionally quite small, linemen, traditionally quite big, often twice the size, and therefore mass of linemen, difficult to miss the receiver. Now, going back to what we've talked about in the past about who can legitimately catch the ball, you will notice the receiver is not wearing numbers 50 through 79. So that's how you can spot a potential receiver. You also, if you notice the mechanics on the play, the line of scrimmage on the side, at the end of the play, comes infield pointing to the receiver. Now, that's telling the referee that there was somebody in the area, therefore it's not intentional grounding. So we've talked before that intentional grounding is a multi-official play. The referee knows whether the quarterback was out of the pocket or not. He also knows whether he was under pressure. That's his part of the deal. The line of scrimmage officials and those downfield can see that there was a receiver in the area or see that the ball actually passed the line of scrimmage if it was a legitimate throwaway. So they feed in their information to the referee, and the referee takes it in combined with his information to whether it is a penalty or not. So you'll see him come in pointing to number 20. That's what at all, because there was somebody in approximately the area, which is a vague definition anyway. I mean, it's not a precise because while it's going, you know, it goes a little bit astray.
Yeah. No, that's a good observation there, Roger. Now, the next play we're going to talk about was the... I still laugh at this one, but the Ryan Jensen, Chris Jones incident, altercation, should we say. Just seeing Brady's face at the end of it, to be honest, was like, yeah, he got you. So do you want to talk us through this particular one, Roger?
Yeah, but happens too often, plays, not... a negative from an officiating point of view, but there's an altercation between two linemen, a bit of pushing and shoving at the end of the play. One lineman pushes the other one retaliates by hitting him towards the head. Now, two things happened when officiating. The official may not be directly looking at the blocking that's going on, especially if it isn't near to the direction of the play. But the pushing the shoving towards the end will draw their attention. And unfortunately, often the retaliation is what gets seen, because when the official spins round, they see the retaliation, not the original push. The original push in this example was just a little bit of handbags. It was a little late, but it wasn't bad. Unfortunately, the retaliation, because he hit him in the head, that's... So that's what you get. Something like that, or take it out on the next play rather than immediately after.
Exactly. No, fantastic. Apologies for any background noise, by the way. I've got two children who have just finished homeschooling. And whilst that was going on, Roger, there was an altercation between those two. So
was there a flag necessary, though?
I should have thrown a flag. My youngest, unnecessary roughness. they're just looking at me now and laughing. But this is live podcasting, you know, and we've got to do it. So the next play we're going to talk about is this was a third and fourth play with... this was a Brady throw, which was tipped by Leonard Fournette. Tyrann Mathieu managed to intercept the ball, but as we saw quite a lot, Mike Evans was involved in a particular call which involved him being held or something being done to him. So talk us through this one, Roger.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate one, and this starts to build a pattern for the people who are on the losing side of this game, which is the number of calls seem to be going always against the Chiefs. A couple of things to say in relation to this, which is the defensive schemes used by both teams will not help the situation. So you mentioned before that Mahomes was under a lot of pressure. Kansas City dropped back in zone coverage quite a lot, and they just left four linemen to apply the pressure. And Mahomes was running around for nearly 500 yards in the backfield just with those four. And I think I saw a stat recently that said that this was the most pressures that a front four had got in something like the last 10 seasons. So, you know, just with those four, he was under pressure all the time. The other way around, the Chiefs were playing a very different type of hands-on, shall we say, man-to-man type defense, and inevitably, you know, close contact, that is going to draw more attention and more the likelihood of a foul being called. So combine that with the fact that so far the calls all seem to be going against the Chiefs, and it starts to build a pattern where people are starting to blame their referees. Now, this is one I have a little bit simply for them, because when you look at this play, it is a very quick pass, literally a couple of steps drop back and a quick throw. Now, whilst the receiver does go downfield and does get held slightly as he tries to make his break, this is happening at the same time the ball is being thrown. Now, the mechanics for the official should be that they see the interference on the receiver to find the ball. Is the ball in the air or not, or is the quarterback still in the pocket? Now,
yeah,
if the quarterback's still in the pocket, obviously you can't have passed interference unless it wasn't a pass. And if it was a pass, already going to the other side of the receiver, it's not hindering that receiver's ability to catch the ball. And so this is so very quick that the interference on the receiver happened almost identically in thrown. And really, I think this one is in his pocket, should have taken a moment to consider the aspects of the plot. Interference, was the quarterback already released the ball, where to? Those two component parts need to be there, and I don't think they were enough for the to be actually having an impact on the play. This obviously caused quite a swing in the play, in that it was obviously an interception that was turned around to being still a ball for the I nearly said Patriots then, and ball for Tampa Bay for Brady.
Well, some people will say it is the Patriots, but you know, especially judging by those comments that we saw on social media. But yeah, to be honest, watching that bit live, I never once thought a flag was going to be thrown. I was, but obviously my eyes were focused towards the actual ball rather than, you know, what was happening with Mike Evans there. So yeah, it's an interesting one, and I think yeah, you're probably right, Roger, that in the grand scheme of things, maybe it was. If anything, I was more angry at Leonard Fournette for not batting the ball down. To be honest, I thought that was just ridiculous to put a team in, you know, in that situation. But thankfully for him, it didn't obviously cause too many problems. But you know, there you go. The next one we're going to talk about. Now, I know we just added this one in late in, so I'm just going to make sure we've got it in the right pecking order there.
6:15 so, in Q2.
Yep. So
shortly after the play we've just been talking about.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is the suck up. Sorry, I do apologise. So this is the... Are we talking about the field goal now, the suck up one, aren't we? Yeah, sorry. Because we've changed it now midway. I'm just calling an audible here. So this was the... fourth down play where Succop had a 40-yard field goal, which was good. The scoreboard changed to 10-3. However, a flag was thrown on the play, on this fourth and five play. So this was number 20. He was offside. He was lined up in the neutral zone. Now, a lot of people were unhappy about this one, Roger. Now, I know you've given me footage, which makes sense to me, and maybe we'll try and somehow put this in, you know, on maybe one of the pages, but do you want to talk us through this particular one and why he was?
Take what you are or aren't allowed to do at the line of scrimmage. Both teams, called a neutral zone, is the ball length. The one side of it, the offense have to be the other side of it. The only exception to that is what you often will see, especially on shortage play, is that the team get close to that ball, maybe fraction of that ball, and that will be let go. Once they get over halfway across, that's when it starts turning in from you're now gaining a real competitive advantage. And what we had two outside defenders who were both going in to try and knock down the kick or to cover it in some way. And they're basically creeping up. And the one on the right-hand side of the Chiefs defense is clearly half of his body is over the 22-yard line, which is where the line of scrimmage is. And you can see if you watch it back on the replay, the line of scrimmage that's projected on the field by the TV, you can see it's directly underneath his body. So, you know, it's not even close. What causes the confusion amongst fans, I think, is that there isn't a TV view that's looking directly down the line. Causes two issues, which is one, we, as in I include me in this example, are trying to look at something from somewhere where it isn't an ideal angle to look at it. And the people who say, well, he isn't over the line or he wasn't close enough, they can't possibly really know that because you're not looking directly down the line. The people who are looking directly down the line are the line of scrimmage officials, including Sarah Thomas, who threw this flag, the first female official to do a Super Bowl. And she correctly, we're looking down that line, can see the person who's in the neutral zone or beyond the neutral zone and will flag it if they get that too far in. And so, unfortunately, people are looking at a TV angle from 20 yards away and trying to make, and it's very difficult in live. I looked at the coach's film. And you get an impression of the line of scrimmage. And you can clearly draw a line along the 20-yard line to the Chiefs are in the there. For the worst.
Yeah, I think the other thing as well you have to consider, a lot of people assume that when a player actually is, you know, offside or, you know, causing neutral, you know, infraction, normally it's a case that there's some sort of sudden movement from them. So that's not always necessarily the case.
If they're lying in the wrong place, that is a foul, regardless of move.
Yeah, exactly.
Moves. Comes in the neutral zone, causing the offense to move. Yeah. That is a foul too. But, you know, this one in the offside, then it's a foul. You can have offensive offside. So if the linemen are too far forward, they're trying to push forward because they want a short yardage advantage, they can also be offside. But it's more.
Exactly. And the next one we're going to talk about once again involves Big Mike. So this was the throw from Brady towards Evans. Now, a lot of people sort of describe this as a bit of a football dive, shall we say, you know, in terms of soccer, the way Evans went down, you know, on his knees. But what's your opinion on this?
I think it'd be worth saying, just in terms of positioning where we've got to so far, which is that drive that would have resulted in a field goal attempt, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have again got the ball. They've got a first and 10 because of the 5-yard penalty here. So their drive continues. So again, that swing of what's happening again is going against the Chiefs. So whilst that was correctly called in my example this time, I don't believe that the Chiefs fans will be feeling that at this stage. So then we have this play. So what we're looking at is two receivers running downfield, looking back to the ball. The defender is trailing the play slightly and inadvertently their legs entangle and the defender goes to the ground. But in the process of going to ground, he dives at, pushes on, falls at, whichever generous opinion you're giving, the heels of Evans, which then causes Evans to lose his footing. Now, under normal circumstances, if you've got two players going down the field together, looking back, playing the ball, and their feet entangle and both of them fall over, that's not interference on either side. So this is very much a judgment call as to whether the feet tanglement was all that brought, or whether it's a deliberate attempt by the defender who was beat in this determination here. He was already, he starts to go to the ground. take out the legs. And that's, I think it was a clear and obvious pass interference call. And most officials I've talked to certainly would have made that call, even though there was entanglement of the legs.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think, I can't remember if it was Romo or the other commentator was sort of alluding to, I think it might have been Romo, who had it wrong, was saying, well, he's not going to reach there, but that's not exactly the point, well, really, is that you don't know that.
And if the ball really was uncatchable, then there is no penalty. And you will see an official who might have thrown a flag for pass interference wave over the top of his head. That's an indication that he would have thrown a flag, but he isn't in this example because the ball was uncatchable. Now, I've looked at this footage a number of times, and Evans was making over 2 yards a stride. And when he goes down, the ball lands just about 2 yards past where he hit the deck. Now, so if he hadn't have been interfered, it's quite likely he would have got another stride in. He certainly would have been in the right vicinity to actually receive the pass. He might not have made it, but that's not the determination here. It was the receiver to get that ball, and certainly there was. And I think Romo's completely wrong, uncatchable. And Evans particularly, having seen him play, I know he can reach things. He definitely gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but if I was to predict, I don't think he would have caught it, to be honest.
Well, maybe not, but
the day, we'll never know.
The defender can't assume that he's not going to catch it and then bring him down. That's the
exactly. No, but I understand that. But I'm just saying from my personal opinion, although that doesn't have a bearing on the flag, I'm glad it was called because, honestly, I don't think he would have had a chance of getting it. But, you know, there you go. The next play involves Mike again.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, 100%. And this one is the one that I think infuriated the fans the most from what I saw on social media. So this was the one on Tyrann Mathieu for pass interference on Evans. What's your opinion on this one, Roger?
Okay, what do you think? Interfering with Evans' route, Badgers pushes him in the opposite direction. So that interference in terms of his route on the pass. So that is illegal. Question mark then becomes, I think, legitimately, this ball is further away. And therefore, however, you've got to look at when in the route that he was. There is then a determination that says, well, how far would he have got? And that is a very difficult one to actually judge. But in my opinion, I think the Chiefs would have had a legitimate claim to say that the ball was uncatchable and therefore there was no pass interference. But it is a determination about how far Evans could have got if he wasn't interfered at the beginning of his route.
That's fair enough. So out of those calls then, Roger, that we've gone through so far, are you fully on the side of the officials? The majority of them?
Yeah, majority of them. There are two that I would say I don't think should have been called, which was the holding on the play that ended up interception. That one into the end zone. But again, that's marginal. So I can see why it was called. I'm not sure I would have called it. But there again, I'm not in the position that back judge was in. And therefore, you've got to take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, really. So, yeah, there was one definite one that I say shouldn't have been. The other, I can see why, but not necessarily whether I would have called that one or not.
That's fair enough. And the final play we're going to talk about was this poor Mahomes. I mean, the fourth quarter was literally, like you said, I'm sure majority of the runs that he made, all the back steps he took and, running everywhere, was majority of it was in the fourth quarter. And obviously this particular incident was one where he unfortunately couldn't escape. And I think he was clamped down by about two or three defenders, but particularly this play by JPP, which resulted in a a 15-yard penalty for him. Do you want to?
Yeah, I think before we start on this one, it might be worth just reviewing the fact that all we've talked about so far were plays in the first half. And then we've got one play in the second half to talk about. And that, I think, really is an indication of how the officiating went in the game. There was lots that went on in the first half and not so much that went on in the second half. Now, whether that was because teams adjusted to the way the officials were calling or there just were less incidents, and I think it is that there were incidents.
Yeah. I mean, there were incidents that not really sort of talking points. I mean, you had... Yeah,
and that's the difference.
You had the Winfield interception.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a hold on.
But the number of flags called in the first half, I think, might have been a Super Bowl record. And most of those went against the Chiefs. And, you know, that's why fans were feeling hard done. But, yeah, there were calls that in some should have gone the other result. They weren't scoring, and if you're not going to, but anyway, coming back to this play, roughing time had three defenders on Mahomes. Oh, one went in the middle, one hit him in the head, so they called it on the guy that went low, but I think it actually probably should have been more called against the guy that hit him in the head. So roughing the passer certainly not much question mark, but we had a crumpled Mahomes at the end of it. But, you know, not all plays went Tampa's way. So there were some that were called the other way. But by this time, the game was predominantly won. So that's why they didn't see it any differently.
Yeah, it was a bit of a game of head, shoulders, knees and toes, wasn't it, for Paul Mahomes at that point? With how many players were on him, it was crazy. But
I mean,
absolute gutsy. I still say it was a gutsy performance.
Yeah, he did great. I mean, some of those passes. I mean, there was one where he's horizontal when thrown. An amazing pass, and
amazing.
The receiver hit him in the face cage and dropped it. But it was in the end zone. You know, those sort of things. Yeah. If his receiver had helped him out, it'd be a different game.
Yeah, 100%. It almost felt like he was in a war on his own, didn't it? Literally just felt like that. Like, literally, he's battling, you know, this army and, you know, Mahomes. And I don't want to take anything away from the offensive line. I know they were really beat up, but at times it really, really did feel like Mahomes was just literally, you know, doing this solo and there was no one there for him. So I'm sure they'll address that. That's what the draft is about anyway. You know, like you said, they had a lot of injuries as well on the offensive line. So a lot of things would play into it, and we'll never know what may have happened if you know, they had been full strength at that point. But you can only beat who you can. At the end of the day, they managed to beat the Bills, you know, in the AFC Championship game with pretty much the same team. So, you know, you can't really argue that they didn't have the chance. So, any given Sunday. Also, I know we're going to sort of go into your sort of review of the season as well, but just a brief mention, obviously, of you know, Sarah Thomas, you know, being the obviously first you know, female official, you know, in a Super Bowl, you know, huge congratulations to her as well. What do you sort of make from her?
Yeah, she did a really solid game in the game. The flags that she were there, we always say in a speak, make it be there. You know, the flag was enough that it was obvious that it should have been called, and she threw some good flags from that perspective. Her mechanics are really good. There was a goal line stand where memory serves, Tampa were trying to get in and Chiefs held them. That was a good call. You know, there certainly was no indication that the ball got anywhere near the actual line. But, you know, ruled on the field, not needing replay to actually take that one.
Yeah. I mean, if it was controversial, we would have been talking about it on this pod. But I mean, it was on my list. But then
it was controversial because obviously it was a key moment. But it wasn't, from an officiating point of view, anything controversial. It was just well officiated. Saw it on the field, ruled it on the field. Replay came in because it was challenged. But replay quite rightly said, well, call on the field's good.
Yeah, it's funny because even on the WhatsApp group, you know, we were talking about it and people were like umming and ahhing on our WhatsApp group of Bucks fans. And I happen to mention one of your terms, Roger, clear and obvious. So yeah, I'm learning.
I can't take all the credit. That's Dean Blandino's wording.
Yeah, so it wasn't, there was no clear and obvious. It was obvious that he hadn't reached the goal line. And to be honest, if anyone deserves criticism, it's probably Rojo for not sticking his arm out and tucking the ball in. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to fumble the ball either.
Exactly, it's that trade-off.
So, yeah. Just one of them. So, yeah, Roger, talk us through, the review of 2020 and what we can expect coming into the new year.
Well, I think to everybody's surprise, we have a full season. And if you'd said to me at the beginning of the season, will we get a full season played and will we have every game played, even if it's disrupted by a few days? I would have said, no, the probability is against. So, you know, that in itself is something to hold up as a gold star. Did it affect the officials? Well, I think the lack of preseason certainly affected the officials. Some of the way they had to work on the field in terms of not meeting before the game, other than via Zoom call, even if they were in the same hotel, you know, that's going to make a difference to the cohesion. And it was the first year that Walt Anderson's been in charge of the officials. Al Riveron's moved to only look after replay. So I don't know whether he'll stick around with that sort of demotion. He was relatively quiet this year. Walt Anderson's come in. He's assigned the crews regionally because of COVID, so they can travel by car as much as possible. So all those things will make a difference. Also, Walt's obviously a different person to Al, and his idea of what should be a call and what isn't a call, that's come into play. And we had far more flags this year than we have in previous. And I think they've gone a little bit too far, in my own opinion. So certainly holding. You get fans on one side of the equation say, let them play. And then when the officials don't call a foul, you get the other half of the, why aren't they calling the fouls? But there needs to be, I think, a stepping up so that there's a clear what is a hold and what isn't a hold, and it is clearly called consistently by all the crews the same way. And I think that's something for them to work in the off-season to try and get that consistency under Walt's direction.
Fantastic. So, that sums up, a lot of what we can expect with officiating now. Obviously, a lot of you are probably wondering now what the future holds, obviously, for the officiating podcast, you know, given the fact that, you know, we've got to wait sort of really a good number of months now before we have any further action. But we're gonna sit down, me, Stuart and Roger. We're going to have a nice chat at some point and discuss how we're going to move the officiating podcast moving forward, because this is certainly no break. We're sure going to have a lot of things to talk about.
I'm sure we will. We've got the whole what rule changes come in equation, the competition committee getting involved. That's always a good time.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll see what we can do in terms of maybe even getting, you know, some nice guests for you to interview as well, Roger, you know, in that sense, if we can maybe get anyone. I'm sure, there'll be many people wanting to come on.
I think we should get some
and discuss, Yeah, it'll be fantastic. So, you know, don't fret, folks, because I know how much you enjoy the podcast. It's very much, you know, going to be a 12-month thing, really. So maybe have the odd break here or there, but, you know, we're going to be consistently going and, you know, bring you guys the best of officiating from, you know, our man Roger. But anything else you'd like to say to the listeners, Roger?
No Super Bowl blues now. During the spring and then the winter, the union starting in October, then on a ball, means we can get them.
100%. Well, let's all pray for that. And, you know, hope everyone, you know, stay safe as well, whatever you're doing. And we hope you've had a fantastic time listening to, obviously, you know, this podcast. I know, to be honest, it's something that I always look forward to on a Tuesday, is recording this podcast as well. And long may that continue. So really appreciate, Roger, the support and insight you've given us, you know, this season. I've learned so much, as I'm sure a number of our listeners have as well. So it's been great, fantastic, Roger. So thank you again. No worries. You look after yourself, Roger.
Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.